Well, good morning, everyone. Come and take a seat. It's good to see everyone communing with each other, which is another way of saying guest bagging. Oh, yeah, I give up. Last one to sit down has to sing a solo. Doesn't worry me. I was actually waiting for Kimo Sabi next to me, so. Let's just commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the wonderful time last night. And for the privilege of being here before you this morning. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would be here and amongst us, infiltrate into our very being, and Lord, may we respond to your leading. Amen. Right, well, let's stand and sing Holy Spirit, welcome in this place. Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You're the Word of God the Father, and before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. You're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. Yet you left the gaze of angels, came to seek and save the lost, and exchange the joy of heaven from the anguish of the cross. With a prayer you fed the hungry, with the word you stilled the sea. The shout you rose victorious, wrestling victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives on your way. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own, for each tribe and tongue and nation, and your leading sin is home. We have come to worship the Lord, praise Him, the one we adore. We've come to worship the Lord. You have won my heart. Take a seat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh wow, that was a hearty good morning. Thank you, everyone. lovely to see all of us here. And this morning, you're just turning to your neighbor and just complimenting them. You know, telling them welcome to service. It's lovely to see you. I mean, if you were with them in the morning, that's totally fine. If you live in the same house, that's totally fine. It's a good thing to say it. All right. Yeah. So just turn to your neighbor or another neighbor and just tell them welcome to our service. And it's lovely to see you this morning. Yeah, so lovely to be able to hear people laughing and interacting, and it's such a lovely time to actually have everyone here. We had a really lovely midwinter Christmas dinner yesterday. Now Isabel and Daniel aren't here, so we'll probably save the thanks for later, but since Margaret and the others who are involved in that, she will say it's a team effort, by the way, but Margaret and the others who are doing it did a really good job. So let's appreciate them with a clap. Yeah. And everyone who made the food, that was awesome. I know Kathy made food. I know the other Kathy made food. I know Daniel was cooking at a point in our kitchen. Mari was in our kitchen at a point as well, which is awesome. So there was a lot going on. So thank you. But most importantly, I always say, if you made it, thank you. If you didn't make it, still, thank you for being part of us. But those who made it, thank you for coming. It's usually interesting when an event is 1 week away and you only have 4 confirmations.
I have a question. How was the goat?
Yes. How was the goat? It went quickly because it wasn't too much. It wasn't because, yeah. Caitlin, are you just saying no? Okay, it's fine. Anyway, yeah. Evidently, we'll have to try it again. Yeah. It was genuinely a lovely time. Yeah, so I was saying that when you're doing an event and you're 3 of you, and the 3 who've confirmed are the people who are organizing it, it's usually unnerving, you know? Yeah, do we cancel it? You know, do we push people? You know, do we bribe people to show up? You know, all those things. But it was lovely to see everyone. So thank you. In September, I think it's the 2nd Sunday of September, which I now can't remember. I'll have better details for this. We are planning to have another worship night at Beckenham Baptist. Worship night and praying for the prodigals. That's basically what we want to do. Praying for the prodigals has been in our hearts for a while, especially in my heart. And I say prodigals as a loose term, meaning people who have drifted away from the faith or are drifting or asking questions, all those things. We're going to be taking that time to actually pray for them and just commit them to God and take that as a first step to welcoming them. And also those who don't know who Christ is. So that's the 2nd weekend of September. I'll have a better announcement then. Then the other announcement that I wanted to make before I call up Nate and Daisy to the front is in January, we have a camp that happens in Hanmer Springs. It's called E4. I should know what the E's stand for. I only know that the last part is equipped for the gospel. I don't remember the other 3. But this is a family camp, and I'm saying this early so that if you're looking for holiday plans, you know, and if you are looking to book places to go, January 11th to the 15th, E4 will be happening in Hanmer. Now, the next thing I'm going to say will either encourage you to come or keep you away totally. Okay, I am the one who's speaking at the camp. Okay, so then make your decision based on that information. All right, yeah, there we are. Yeah, I'll just say that out loud so that, yeah, this is why it's important. Again, it will be one of those things. Please come. Anyway, yeah. All right, Nate and Daisy. Today we are missing Maggie, but that's totally fine. Nate and Daisy are up to the task. I'm calling them up here because they're leaving us. not in a bad way. I think they still love us, as you can see the smile. Isn't she beautiful? I mean, he's also handsome, but I mean, yeah. Would you like to tell us where you're going?
We're going to Manchester, the UK. Not just so Mato's favourite football team every week, but
thank you
for my work for a couple of years, just to get a little bit more experience. And the plan is to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, that was going to be my question. The plan is to come back.
Yeah.
So the three of them are going to be in Manchester for 2 years. I plan to visit them, but really it's to go watch football. But here we are. Yeah, free accommodation. Yeah, and a trip. Yeah, honesty is a good thing. Yeah, I love Jesus more than football, I promise. Yeah, so I thought it would be good for us to actually pray for them. And not only just pray for them, but to also ask them what they would like prayer for in terms of what's on your mind, what's troubling you at this time, what are you thinking, what are you excited about, what can we be praying for?
I think the main thing, I think, is for settling in. I think Maggie's quite nervous about, she's never been further than Australia, so it's a big one. be a big plug for her. I think you and I will probably be a little bit more relaxed about the travel, so more just finding a place and good time and finding a nice church family over there and really settling in. I suppose that's the main thing, that we could make the most of our time and learn lots. And
oh, wow. All right.
Well, she may. Yes. Coronation Street accent.
Oh, wow. All right. So what I'm going to do is that instead of getting people up here, I will just ask anyone who is seated there to pray for Nate and Maggie and Daisy. And after we have prayed, I will just conclude with a prayer. Then we will continue with worship. All right. So yeah, so anyone, feel free to pray for them.
Manchester and take up work there for a couple of years. Lord, we're praying for actually the Nates, and just really to pray that there would be an ease at which they find a good church and home to live in there, Lord, and that Maggie would really settle in, and Lord, that they have some good key friends that make there around them, and they'd really make their good second home. And so we just pray your blessing on their health, a blessing on their welfare over there, that you guard their hearts and you guard them, Lord, and we just pray that it will be a really productive 2 years in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, we do thank you for Nate and Maggie and Daisy and the blessing that they have been to our church. We thank you, Lord, for their faith in you. We pray that you will be with them as they go through their final preparations for their travel to, Lord, that you'll help that to be an enjoyable time, full of excitement and not worry. And we pray for travel mercies too, Lord, that they will be able to enjoy that travel experience, Lord, and things will go smoothly. And Lord, we thank you that you will be there with them wherever they are. And we just really pray that you'll help them to get off to a fantastic start in this new part of their life. We just really thank you for their blessing to us. And we just pray that you'll help them to bless others that they come in contact with as they move over to them.
Pray for their spiritual health too as they go overseas. Lord, we just pray that you would show them the right church family to belong to and get involved with. Lord, we just pray that you would take distractions that are not good away from them, Lord, that they have clear thought processes, and Lord, that you would just infiltrate their lives over there, Lord, and lead their every decision that they make.
Yeah. true friend for him. Mm. Lord, he probably has a child as well. I just sort of protect him with the blood of Jesus over one of them, other than mine, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, that they are part of your family.
Mm.
Experience and feel, Lord, that you have placed him in, and just pray your blessing that he might be used for your glory in the field that Lord is ready for pediatrics. Lord, we just come to you and pray Lord, just bless him as well. And spiritually, Lord, just pray, just strengthen their hearts and minds and draw them close to yourself in all areas. We just pray for your protecting hand and just to help them to grow further.
And Father, we thank you for the privilege and the blessing that it has been to be with Annette and Maggie and now Daisy. Oh, such a joy. And we thank you for the blessing they have been to us as a congregation. And I pray, Father, that you will be with them every step of the way. You will bless them. You will make your face shine upon them. I pray, Father, that you will help them find people who can be a blessing, just as they have been a blessing to us, O Lord. I pray, Father, that you will find, they will find people who can be a blessing to them, that you can, that can embrace them, that can make them part of their family, Lord, and that, Father, they will feel a sense of belonging in your own family in the UK. I pray for the future for them. I pray for Nate and for Maggie as they plan. I pray for Daisy as she grows as well, O Lord. May she grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And I do pray, Lord, that you will be with them every step of the way. And when they do return, Lord, we will be here to give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Father, for this amazing family, and may you be with them in all they do. This we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you to everyone here, and certainly we'll be praying for this community. You know, we're in a special spot with lots of new houses going up, and that the doors, the right people come in the doors, and that
Wow, thanks, Nate. Yeah, all right. Worship, welcome back.
Right. Well, Phil introduced it was an old song, really, but an old and new one for us, I guess. Let Us Come Together. So if the kids have got their rattles, that would be a good time. And we're going to have just two songs. I think we are. Yes, two songs. And then we'll finish the bracket. Let's stand and sing Let Us Come Together.
Together, praise the name of Jesus. All the people of the earth, come and see. Let us come together, praise the name of Jesus. All the people of the earth, come and see.
salvation of your return. Let us sing unto the King.
To share in communion this morning. So Rob is leading us in that. So welcome, Rob. When it's time for the elements, just stay seated. We'll bring the elements to you.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I love that, those verses. They're really special. And that's a third one that I want to add there, is this idea of hope. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We read in Isaiah 53 that he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And that's for the joy that was set before him, he saw us in the future, that we would come to him. He saw the benefits of his work on the cross, and he saw us coming to him, and he saw a future with him. And that's the joy that's set before him, and that was the travail of his soul. And he was satisfied when he looked ahead. And that's something important for me too, and you. When you're going through trials, tough times, then the hope that we have is so powerful. You know, not because we're not going to be in this body forever. We're going to get a new body. Jesus said he's going to in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to call us to meet him in the clouds of the sky, in the clouds in the air. And we're going to be like him, made fit for his presence. And the old order of things will be gone, the pain, the suffering, the sorrow, the death, the crying. All those things will be gone, and we'll be in his presence. He's gone to prepare a place for us, that where I am, there you might be also. And that's really special. I love that. And that really helps me to get over anything that might be standing in your way. Now, I want to read another passage. But another key thing from that verse for me is looking unto him. And that is a very powerful thing, looking unto him. And when we look and fill ourselves with him, who he is, what he is, what he's done, then it's going to actually lift you to another level. And that's what where we want to go, and look at him, and just seeing what he's done. These next verses are in Ephesians chapter 3. It says that I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So knowing him and seeing his glory, so that the Lord is the strong one. He is really strong. He is tough. If you wanted to see somebody who is tough, you look at him and what he endured. And he wants to be strong and make you strong. Wants to strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So that, how does he do that? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He wants you to believe and cling to him and trust him no matter what comes your way. And that's really important. Rooted and grounded in his love, taste and see that the Lord is good. And how deep is that love? And that will translate you into another level on your spiritual plane and walk. So those are just some little things that I've discovered. Endurance, perseverance, hope, and the key is looking unto him. You know, when I was in hospital there after that stroke, the Lord sort of put on my heart, come unto me all you that are labour, heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then as I read the first part of that chapter, it was about John the Baptist. And he was just about to, I think he was beheaded. And his disciples, John's disciples, came to Jesus and said, are you the one that we should look for? Or is there somebody else that we should be looking for? And they were starting to have doubts. Imagine that, coming to Jesus and he sees all his mates, some of his followers starting to fall away from him. And that really spoke to me. Wasn't only the sufferings on the cross that Jesus suffered. You know, there's an awful lot. And as people started to doubt him, it must have cut him to the heart. So we have a wonderful Saviour. And there are all good reasons to remember him this morning in the bread and the wine, as we just see. You know, he said, look, the blind hear, the deaf see, the dead are raised from the dead. Blessed is he who doesn't fall away on account of me. And that's the challenge, isn't it? So he wants to strengthen you and strengthen me, and that's what, by his spirit in your inner being. And that's what we want him to do. Strengthen us, Lord, strengthen us, and help us to see that love that you have for us. So we're going to take the bread and the wine together. So if you come up and grab a wafer, you're going to pass it around. Yep, here they come, they're going to pass it around. And then we'll give thanks for it together. have the 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So this is a symbol of the Lord's body broken for us as we partake of it together. So let's just pray. Father in heaven, we do give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We do give thanks for his love and how deep and wide it is. And Lord, we pray that you would just increase our understanding of it, that we might know it. Lord, that we might be increased to the measure of the fullness of God and our understanding of what he is and the depths of love, the victory that he has won, the strength that he that he showed and that got him through as he faced the sins of the world, as he faced all the people who were rejecting him, as he faced the devil who tried to knock him off his perch. But Lord, he was victorious, and we just give thanks for him. And we take this bread and we break it, willingly partaking of his body, Lord, and rejoicing in the victory that has been won. So let us take this bread together and break it and eat it. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And the way the world's going, it mightn't be too far away. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this cup. It represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out for us for the forgiveness of sins, and the new covenant that he has established. And Lord, we just thank you for the hope that you have brought to us, that this world is not all there is, but you have a grand plan, and it's all unfolding according to your wisdom. And so we give thanks again, and just pray that you would increase our understanding of who the Lord Jesus is, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. So we take this cup and drink it together in memory of him. Amen. You might have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May God take us to another level in our understanding and our walk with him.
Thank you, Rob. Feel free to pass the cups down, and then someone will come and pick them up. Actually, just pass them to the back, and someone will pick them up. There we are. Okay, so. Thank you, Rob, for that. All right, thank you, Rob, for that reflection. As we were talking and Rob was reflecting, and I just felt strong times don't last, tough people do. But as a community, what we want to do is hold each one of us in those tough times and actually be there for us. I always say that healing happens in two ways. You can pray and God will heal you, okay, like immediately. And that has happened to many of us, me included. And immediately you feel that there's relief in your body. And that's amazing. But there's also another type of healing, which is timing. And it takes time. It's in community. And God doesn't just heal you immediately. And it takes a while. And so you're with people and things happen. And so I strongly feel that part of our call is to hold each other in those spaces of healing, even when the perfect healing hasn't taken place, right? And that healing is probably physical and emotional and mental as well. It's not just physical healing. It's also what we are going through mentally, what we are going through emotionally, and what we are feeling as we go through life. You know that weight on our shoulders that sometimes is very hard to get through? As a church community, I strongly believe that God has called us to share that load. So if you're struggling with anything that is going on in your own life, while you can't share it with everyone, this is an opportunity for us, and this is a call that I am making, that it is always important that we share these things. Find someone among us and come and share with them. I'm sure there are people here who are seated and ready to listen and to pray, most importantly to pray, because consistently I say that while we cannot do anything, that helplessness is what we acknowledge and we take it to God in terms of prayer. And so as tough people do, I think tough people do in communities that are willing to love and care for them as well. We've been talking about what healthy discipleship looks like, and I'll just do one very small part today and then we'll pick it up next week. Because today we were going to talk about the infant stage. The question that I have is one that I really thought about, because this has been my life. I'm an idealist. Okay? What I mean by an idealist is I look at the world as it's supposed to be, not as it is. Does that make sense? So, of course, I see the world that it's broken and all those things are happening, but I genuinely think, how could we make this better? Which then means, in a way, I am a perfectionist, which then means, in a way, I have OCD and it's not very helpful. And for example, if I look around this room, that curtain should have been to the end and right there, and it's troubling me. You see things like that? Yeah, because I'm an idealist, all right? But that goes even deeper than that, right? So here's a question I want you to think about for a minute. What did you hold as an ideal or a truth or a worldview that has been challenged with time? Does that make sense as a question? Especially, this is a good question for people who are over 40, maybe over 30 as well, but over 40. As you grow up, I think there's a way that you realize that what was ideal and what you held when we were young is challenged consistently, right? Yeah, so what did you hold and what has been challenged about that? Today I will share what mine is, but yeah, just for a minute, just turn to your neighbor and just share something that you think has been an ideal, but it got challenged. Either you changed it completely, you changed your stance, or if you didn't change your stance, you kind of softened it, or maybe you became something different or someone different. Yeah. That's all right. Thank you.
stuff is what we get in return. I was always thinking that's a situation should be. If I came to the Lord as everything now as a company now ever here, nothing to count on company. I just feel like that's the normal.
All right. I recognize. I recognize that this question is probably a question that should be asked in a Bible study setting, because it's so wide, right? There's so many things. And maybe it should be asked in a Bible study setting the week before, so that you have a week to think about it and then come back. I recognize it's that it's those types of questions, right? But having said that, I had people talking. What did you say? Something that you hold on as anyone, just shout out for 1 minute or two. Anything.
Being an adult is overrated.
Okay, so now that you're an adult, do you think it's still overrated?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Welcome to the real world. What? Oh, it doesn't seem as fun now that you're an adult. It seems fun when you're young. Ah, that's a good one. Yeah, I can see all the adults nodding. In fact, that I think is enough. Let's pray and go home. All right, anything else? You don't need to know everything. Okay. That's actually a very good one, that you basically think that the more you know, the better you feel and the nicer it is. And then as you grow older, you realize how little you know. In fact, when you go to university, you realize, I don't know anything at all. It's a whole new world. All right, yeah. Mine was not as deep as those two, but mine was when I was growing up, I knew people got into politics to get rich. Okay, so if you became a politician, you were going to be rich, and people were going to respect you, and it was going to be the best life ever. Okay, until I came to New Zealand and I realized politicians are held to account and it's not fun. I wouldn't want to be a politician in New Zealand. It's really difficult. Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of want someone to push someone to do it. You can blame them when things go wrong. You understand that idea? You push them into that idea then. Yeah, so there's those ideals. And I remember growing up, not even growing up, as an adult in the Facebook era. Okay, of course, Facebook came into my life when maybe I was in uni, maybe for first year, second year uni. And we used to have these debates on Facebook and we would post them. I go back to my Facebook posts
when it started, and it's cringy. Don't go and look, please. Okay, it just looks really bad. Even the spelling was really bad. You know, and you'd have an argument with someone and you'd go on Facebook and put it out loud. You know, this is not what it means, all right? I remember I was serving in a youth ministry somewhere and the youth pastor left and another youth pastor came and the new youth pastor was not as good as the old one. That's a nice way of saying it. He really was really bad, okay? He was really bad, okay? And I remember we had so much problems with him. I was one of the leaders now. And basically, we just kept having this altercations, not fights, because he just didn't understand the culture, and we tried to explain and he couldn't understand what was going on. And then we'd leave the room and we'd put all of it on Facebook, you know, and we were idealists because we knew we were right, okay? Until I became a pastor myself and I was like, oh, oops, that should not have come out of my mouth, you know? Yeah, and you sit down and you go to places where there's an argument happening and you tell everyone, keep quiet, it's my time to speak because I know everything. I'm the only person who knows what's happening. That idealism is real when you're young. That idealism is real when you're a child because, I mean, to a child, they know they're right for the most part. Even if they're wrong, they're still right, okay? And that's kind of how this discipleship journey goes. When we become Christian or when we start being discipled, we have that sense of we are right and ideally the world should revolve around us. So that's what we've been talking about, which is healthy discipleship. And we've been saying that discipleship is helping someone look at the world through the lens of how God sees you and what Jesus has done. I'm just going to give you a small part of what being an infant is. Last week, we talked about Exodus. We talked a lot about Pharaoh. I've been reading through the Exodus text again, and it's just amazing how there's so much detail about some events, especially the plagues. So much detail about what was going on there. Really good. And then Moses shows up, and then Genesis ended there, and we talked about the Israelites multiplying, and we say that God knows the state of our hearts. So today, we pick it up after the crossing of the Red Sea. Okay, Pharaoh, after letting the Israelites go, of course, he regretted it immediately. So he gets his army together and they start pursuing the Israelites. And we know what happens in the Red Sea, that God makes a path for the Israelites. And literally, guys, I kid you not, they went through and there was a wall of water. Okay, it was probably one of the, go watch Prince of Egypt. I told you that last week, right? It's an amazing movie. At the end of the last person goes through, and Pharaoh again decides, well, I can do this. I am God. And he goes in, or rather he sends his army in. He doesn't go in. And of course, they all get submerged. On the other side of the Red Sea, Pharaoh looks at what happens and he goes home despondent. In fact, the text says that when Pharaoh goes home despondent, his wife tells him, you shouldn't have joked with the God of Moses. You know, his wife tells him, you see, I think maybe that's a lesson. Maybe just listen to your wife a bit. Anyway, yeah. After the crossing that happened, on the other side, this is one of those moments that things are working out. So Miriam picks up a tambourine. If you don't know what's a tambourine, that's a tambourine. Okay, my mother carries one in her car because a song can break out at any time. Okay, and the tambourine is basically a musical instrument that just makes it more fun and dancey. So Miriam picks up one of those, and the whole of chapter 17 of Exodus is this very beautiful song that Miriam writes to the Lord. And part of it says, I will sing to the Lord. He is highly exalted. Both horse and driver have been hurled into the sea. And it continues and continues into how great God is and how we are going to follow him. However, when Moses led the Israel from the Red Sea and they went in the desert of Shur, for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. Marah shows up again in the Old Testament in the story of Ruth. Naomi had gone out of Israel and then she comes back and she says, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Marah, because it was a bitter time. just as these people had seen God come through them, suddenly because they don't have water, they decide that they are going to grumble. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" This is only 3 days later. Okay, maybe five. Let's go with five, because maybe they took a day to dance and then they started traveling the next day. And within 3 days of seeing what God had done for them, they started grumbling. And then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. I thought I'd show you a map, because this is really cool. Land of Goshen is where this whole journey started. That's where Israel had actually started the multiplying. They get out of Egypt, and they come through, and this is where they cross the Red Sea, okay, if you can see that. And so they come down here. So for 3 days, they're kind of here. So they're in Mara. So they've traveled quite a distance from Egypt, okay? And a three-day journey is not an easy journey, okay? So they cross there, come down here. As they are here, they're starting to grumble. Israel was still suffering from Egyptian hangovers, okay? To them, in Egypt, there was food and there was water. It was hard work, but there was still food and there was water. While God had rescued them physically, they still needed spiritual and emotional healing. They're already out of Egypt, but in their heads, they're still in Egypt. And just like Israel in their journey, our first stage of discipleship involves God rescuing us from ourselves and our idealism, ideally. You see, in the infant stage of, and I'm just going to say this out loud, and then after that I'll pause. There was way more to this, but I want to pause here for today because this reflection was really strong for me. In the infant stage of our journey, we are quite ideal. Of our discipleship, when we become Christians, many of us stick here because of our idealism. And I'll say this out loud, I think it's also a Western problem. I think we know most of the things. Or because we've led the world for so long, we feel that we know everything. And maybe that's why we end up staying in this infant stage for longer than we should. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about us as a church and the individuals. I feel like we have moved on from this. But the moving on came at a cost. And I'll talk about the cost next week. All right? But for today, this is what the infant stage looks like. And what I want you to do is look at a snapshot of whether you feel that you're still in this stage or not. Okay, then next week we'll pick it up from there. One, in the infant stage of our discipleship and our walk with Christ, there's really no structure or program. You know, you're a Christian, yes. You proclaim Christ. You probably had one of those amazing mountaintop moments, you know, call it what? Call it Easter camp, call it a camp somewhere, call it a church service, and you know that God came through. You know the way Israel had God come through for them, even in the Red Sea? Same thing. God came through and you knew it was God and you accepted him. But you kind of still cannot articulate yourself. So the idea is eat anything. So you kind of listen to everything. Everything new agey, everything that sounds nice. It sounds like it's godly, so you kind of chew it, but you really cannot yet grasp or fathom what is going on in there. We still think at this stage that we are the center of the universe. Guys, this is where you find people church hopping, okay? They go to this church and they say, I don't like the worship. I think the pastor is wearing a pink shirt and that's weird. So maybe we shouldn't go there. You know, they sing two songs and then they sit down. Maybe that's not our church. You know, that idea of you're just picking what is nice and then just leaving it over there, right? And ideally in this infant stage, God is there to bless you, okay? So you're not there to do anything for God. It's God, I accepted you, now things should work out. Are they working out? Now? How about now? And now? Come on, God. Are you even real? You know, that's kind of that stage of infancy. And ideally, God is a means to an end, okay? Means to an end means all our prayers are requests to God consistently. And of course, not only are they are requests that should be done now. Okay, in this stage of our life, in this stage of discipleship, you're not really wrong, but you just still don't grasp what faith is. Okay, yes, we are Christian. Yes, you're a Christian. And for those of us who are beyond this stage, you can look back to the people who are in this stage and you can see this. Because I think most of us are past this stage, genuinely speaking. I'm not saying that to make you feel nice. I think most of us are past this stage. But you can look back and see that there's still kind of a roughness, not around the edges, just a roughness towards what faith means and what it is. Of course, the little understanding of gospel demands, you know, the picking up of your cross, the idea that God isn't there to just bless you, he's there for you to have a relationship with him. That's still not clear yet. The idea of wrestling with belonging, again, let me use church as an example. You know, you go to a church, you go one Sunday, two Sundays, oh, they didn't talk to me, or they were forced to talk to me. I don't think they like me, so I'll go. They're just too cliquey, so I'll just go to another church, only that the other church is also cliquey. Those types of things come up when we are in this infant stage, all right? And guys, I'm not trying to ramp up the church here. I'm just saying that wherever church you'll go to, there'll always be a problem, okay? Even in home groups, whatever home group you go to, there'll always be a problem, right? I discovered that soon after Halls Community Church started, because ours was supposed to be the perfect one. There was not going to be any problems. But then again, I decided to join that church, so problems started at that time, okay? And ideally, the thing of wrestling with belonging is not that you don't want to belong. It's just that you think that belonging should be done in your own terms. And not only in your own terms, but how you want it done, how you want people loved, how you want to be loved yourself, when Bible study should be. It should all revolve around you so that everything fits perfectly. This is where the devil actually works, does his best work. Okay? But hey, I said this when we were doing the job series. I told you that the devil isn't omnipresent, right? The devil cannot be in more than one place at a time. Okay? So sometimes I think we blame an non-existent devil for bad choices. Not all the time, but sometimes. But whenever the devil decides to work, this is the time that he works. Because this is when he starts putting ideas like, oh, you just became a Christian, things aren't working out. Your friends who you left on the other side, you know, Egypt, you know, the friends you left on the other side, they were nicer, they accepted you, things went well, and then now there's these Christians who are cliquey and they don't like you anymore. Or at least they haven't started liking you the way you want to be liked. And then they have all these weird rules. Okay, some of them revolve around, oh, you have to sit down during communion, you have to stand up, you have to sing. Wait, we haven't even gotten to the point where you're not supposed to have sex before marriage. I'm out. You know, that's basically what people here are struggling with. And so we struggle with being in the world, but not being of the world. And so, if I was to be honest, this is a stage that many of us have been through. It takes even up to 10 years to just go through this. We hop from Bible study to Bible study, church to church, finding the next big thing. You know, at a point there was something called relevant church, you know, when the church was supposed to be relevant and it was supposed to be dark and there was supposed to be lights, smoke machines, all those things. And we hope and hope from those things. See, when we get used to this stage, God becomes a means to an end. And why I'm sharing this with you guys is I don't want you to get to a point where you think that you have reached the point of God speaking to you or God using you. At this stage, God is still God and you are still God's child and he still loves you. But there's still a journey that you're supposed to take. And so next week, we'll pick it up from here with how God actually dealt with this situation. But for today, I just want you to think about these characteristics. You may not be here. As I said, for most of us, I know that we have basically moved on. God has engineered a set of circumstances that have made us have to move from the infant stage to even the teenager stage. And we are probably in the teenager stage. I think a few of us are even in the adult stage. But in this infant stage, there are people in your life who are here. I suspect that the prodigals or the exiles that we talked about when we started all this, they just never got past this idea. They just never got past the idea that God is there for a relationship, not to just solve your problems. They never got past the idea that we are a church and we are called to be the church, but we are not perfect. And we are supposed to embrace ourselves in weakness and in humility, knowing that it's God who loves us as we are. And you know people like that. You know people who are Christian and they were fervent, and as they grew older and they asked questions, their questions were infant stage questions. They were not really questions that, and you answered as an adult. You know, you answered as an adult stage person or a teenage stage person, and they just never understood, and they walked away, or they are walking away. So just be aware that around us, there are people who are still here. I'm not saying this as a way to condemn them. I'm just saying this for us to realize that in this journey of discipleship, we are taking everyone. And not only are we taking everyone, sometimes we are called to go back to this place and help people who are here move on to the next stage, which is the child stage and then the teenager stage. And that's just stage one. Another few stages are coming. So, do you have anyone who you feel is in this stage? Or do you feel like maybe one of us or two of us feels like they're still in this stage? That's totally fine. Thankfully, God still accepts us. And thankfully, it's still a journey. And it's a journey that's going to be exciting. So next week, we'll finish the infant stage and move on to the child stage. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you for just loving us enough to be able to take us on a journey of knowing who you are. For many of us, it's been a lifetime. For some of us, it's been a year, 2 years. For some of us, it's been maybe half their life. For some of us, maybe the journey hasn't even started, and that's still a good place to be. Maybe it's started, and then it's gone back, and then it's starting again, but it's really not started fully. I just pray, Lord, for everyone here, that we will be sensitive to your spirit, especially to the Christians who are in this infant stage. As they grapple with questions about the gospel, as they grapple with churches to go to, as they grapple with what it means to live for you faithfully, as they grapple with idealism and thinking they are the center of the universe and things should work out, I just pray, Father, that you'll give us the sensitivity to actually reach out to that group of people. Some of them are our sons and daughters. Some of them are our brothers and sisters. Some of them are our neighbors. I just pray, Father, that you'll give us the sensitivity to know how to go out and actually reach out to these people. I also pray for us, Lord, that as we move through this journey, we will be genuinely honest with ourselves. We will tell ourselves the truth about where we are and how we can continue moving along in this journey. Lord, may you be with us as we start another week. And Lord, may your presence be upon us as we reach out to people who need you in our culture. This we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to have a final song, which I believe is going to be